Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. Got a great show for you today. I'll start with some Jrue Holiday trade ideas, and then I'm going to get to some mailbag questions you all sent in about trading back in the draft, the best ways the Warriors can fill their team needs, and a whole lot more. That's all coming up here on Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
There was a report this week that several contending teams have contacted the Pelicans about Jrue Holiday, and I don't know if that's news that he's available, but it makes sense for New Orleans to see what they can get for him. He's on an expiring contract, he's 30 years old, not really in that championship window for Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, but it wouldn't surprise me if one of those teams was the Warriors. The one thing that I've consistently been told about what the Warriors want to do with this number two pick, and there's been so much talk out there about whether or not they should trade the pick, why they should trade the pick, the fact that they need immediate help. And look, I get that argument. I understand that you want to chase titles when you have Steph, Klay, and Draymond in their prime. I get that. But what I've consistently been told by the Warriors is that they are looking at this pick as a rare opportunity to find a player who can help extend this dynasty further. This could be their Kawhi Leonard. That's how they view this pick, right? And so it's going to take a lot for them to move off of that pick. It's probably going to take an all-NBA type of player, somebody who could just walk in right away and be that guy who could take the baton and run with it. But look, Jrue Holiday's a really good player, and he would be a really great fit for the Warriors. He's one of the best defensive guards in the league. He can thrive off the ball, shoots threes, but can also play on the ball as well. I mean, he would be a better version of what Andre Iguodala was, really. And with his defense, what he can do, you could play him next to Steph and Klay Thompson, no problem. Now, I don't know that he's quite good enough to give up that number two pick. The Warriors really want to use this as an opportunity to find a young talent who can be in his prime when Steph and Klay and Draymond are sort of coming out of it. And Jrue Holiday is right there. He's 30, just like these other guys are. Like Draymond's 30, you know? And so it would really be all cards on the table, sort of all the eggs in this basket right now kind of move. Now, they do have the Minnesota pick next year. It's top three protected. There's a lot of debate of whether or not that Minnesota pick is more valuable than this Warriors pick. I know the 2021 draft is better, but it's a top three protected pick. The Warriors have the second pick in this draft. Okay, so the Warriors can, we don't know where that pick next year is going to end up. So I think that's going to be a big part of the calculus. But that said, the Pelicans also have the 13th pick in this draft. And the 13th pick is not as good as the number 2 pick. But Jrue Holiday and number 13 for Andrew Wiggins and number 2. That would be how the trade would have to be put together. The only other way that they could do this is if they use the trade exception, the $17.2 million trade exception, on another contract, and you take that, and then you maybe lump Kevon Looney into there to start stacking salaries. Maybe you throw in a Jordan Poole or an Eric Paschal or something like that, but in addition to the number 2 pick. And then you could start to get to that salary that way. What's interesting, I think, and this was reported by Adrian Wojnarowski, that teams are going to be able to trade prior to the draft this year. And so the Warriors could put the TPE in play and potentially get that bridge contract in time to use on Jrue Holiday on draft night and do these pick swaps. So keep that in mind. That's all I'm saying. Just keep that in mind. That could be something because of the timing, the order of events, the order of operations here, that could be of use to the Warriors. Now, that's a lot more complicated. The simplest version of this is Wiggins and number 2 for Holiday and number 13. Now, I don't think that Wiggins is a great fit next to Zion and Brandon Ingram, but the number 2 pick is probably better than anything else the Pelicans are going to get as far as an asset. I think the other teams that make sense that have been out, like Denver, if they put, is Gary Harris or Will Barton better than, I don't think so. It doesn't sound like they're going to be willing to put Michael Porter Jr. in the trade. If they do, that's better than a number 2 pick. Michael Porter Jr., if the Warriors could take Michael Porter Jr. right now at the number 2 pick, they would, okay? So, but all, you know, it doesn't sound like Michael Porter Jr. at least is really on the table for Denver. So then you go to other teams like the 76ers could use Jrue Holiday, but if I'm the Pelican, I don't want Tobias Harris or Al Horford. I don't want those contracts and all. And they, you know, you could throw in a future first round pick. You know, they've got the Josh Richardson contract, but then you're really trying to stack these other salaries that New Orleans might not want. There's been some noise about Dallas. You know, is you know, a couple of role players enough and to get Jrue Holiday? They don't really have a bunch of their future first rounders because that went over the Knicks and the Kristaps Porzingis deal. The Lakers and Clippers would make sense, but they just don't have, like, they've traded all their picks, so I don't know what they have in order to get Holiday. So the Warriors, if they want to make this deal, I would imagine it could be out there, right? Even if Wiggins is not a great fit, that's something that the Pelicans could figure out down the line, because the number two pick is probably the best thing on the table, if it is on the table, which I have not reported that the Warriors have put the number two pick on the table. So to me, Jrue Holiday still falls a little shy of what they want out of the number two pick. Now, if Holiday were 26 years old, that would be a different conversation. But they want an all-NBA type player, multiple all-star type player who's young, if they're going to move that number two pick, and I just don't know who that is right now. But because the Pelicans can also offer the 13th pick, all I'm saying is it's something that I would be considering if I'm the Warriors, and it at least deserves a meeting. If Griffin calls Bob Myers and says, look, Jrue Holiday number 13 for Wiggins number 2, you at least have to have a meeting about that. You have to have a meeting about that. I probably, when you know, push comes to shove, if they said, all right, let's make this deal or not, if I'm the Warriors, I probably still don't make that trade. I probably still don't make that trade because I'm not sure that you could start Holiday next to Klay and Steph. I think you probably could, but we've seen that the Warriors like to have a little bit more length on the floor. And Jrue, for as much as he can do defensively and as versatile as talented he is and as skilled as he is, the positional fit isn't quite as smooth as maybe you'd want it to be. And then the upside just really isn't there anymore. It would be an all-in bet right now, but I don't know that the Warriors would do that. I think when you know, gun to their head, hey, are you making this deal? I think in their gut they would say, you know what, no, we really want to use this number two pick and try to find that guy who could be the face of the franchise going forward when Steph and Klay and Draymond aren't in their prime anymore. So, but like I said, it's something at least worth considering if you're the Warriors. Coming up, the Warriors have been quiet about a few players near the top of this draft. I'll tell you why, but first, let's talk about Built Go. Whether it's for your mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. These easy-to-carry 1.5-ounce packages are perfect to bring in your briefcase or in your gym bag. No matter where you're going, you can take these with you. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. So whether or not you're going to start lifting some weights right now in the morning or in the afternoon after work, or maybe you've got a big meeting coming up and you just need a little energy boost and you don't have time to run to a Starbucks or something like that, you should have these little packages with you at all times. I mean, they can just come in handy. It comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. So how does Built Go work? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, a fast-absorbing protein that promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you feel better and look better. Here's the offer. Visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Earlier this week, Rick Barry joined me on the podcast for a great conversation about a lot of things, including how he would rebuild the Warriors. You can find that in the podcast feed. But let's go to the mailbag to answer some of the questions you all sent in. This one comes from Christopher Martin, who writes in, unless the Warriors are playing subterfuge perfectly, I'm bummed that they have not shown more interest in Onyeka Okongwu. I'm much higher on him than James Wiseman. His footwork is so much better, and he has the hands that remind me of prime Chris Webber. I watch him play, and he seems much more fluid and instinctual than Wiseman. I just see a lot more skill, which seems much more of a Kerr type of center. His ability to defend in space and defend the pick and roll immediately helps. I was hoping you and Charles would have him on a target Tuesday. Is this a sign that you don't think that the Dubs are considering him? I actually really like Okongwu too, Christopher. I like him more than Wiseman. I agree with what you were saying. He does seem like more of a modern day center. The potential is there for him to guard and switch across, you know, several positions. Everybody's going to be looking for their Bam Adebayo this year, potentially. And Okongwu is sort of the guy who projects to be in that mold. Now, I don't know that he has the same ball skills as Bam does. He did show flashes of being a good passer at USC. I think he certainly has more ball skills than James Wiseman does, for sure, especially from a passing perspective. But to project him to be Bam Adebayo, I think, would be a little too hopeful. That said, he would be really helpful for any defense, and the Warriors need help on defense. And if you're not sold on Kevon Looney's long-term health, if you're the Warriors, then I would take a serious look at Okongwu. But I do think that they want to see Looney work out. And the other thing with Okongwu is I don't know what his upside is. I just don't know what his scoring upside is. And that, to me, is the difference between him and Wiseman. Wiseman at least has the upside of being a mid-range shooter, maybe a three-point shooter if you're buying into that long-range shot. Certainly a lob threat. I don't, like, Okongwu isn't quite the lob threat, even though, you know, he can be. But, you know, I think his floor is higher than Wiseman's. And I like him a lot. And look, a lot of people like him a lot. He's one of the, you know, you talk to a lot of people, they've got him in their top five or six in this draft. But I haven't heard the Warriors mention his name. It doesn't mean that they're not looking at him, okay? Like you said, it could just be a little, it could be coy. It could be gamesmanship on their part. So maybe he's quietly very high on their board. That's certainly possible. I'm just telling you that I really haven't heard them talk about him very much. And so, and that's why I debated whether or not to do a Target Tuesday on him. Maybe we could still do it. I don't know. But as of now, I don't really see him in the mix for Golden State, just because I haven't heard his name mentioned very much, if at all. Copious Curious writes in, I feel like you've been unusually high on Andrew Wiggins. What are some other past instances when you've been abnormally high on a player and were either vindicated or burned your bullishness as time progressed? Have I been high on Wiggins? I don't know. I haven't been high on Wiggins. I mean, I guess I have. But the only time I'm more reporting about what I hear from the Warriors on Andrew Wiggins. They're high on Wiggins. So don't confuse that with my opinion. I'm just telling you what I hear. You know, Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, they're really high on Andrew Wiggins. Joe Lacob, they're high on Andrew Wiggins. They like him. They think it could be a fit. Look, he's 25 years old. Positionally, he's a great fit at 6'7". Slots in easily at the small forward spot. They believe that he could play small ball four with Draymond Green at the center position. They like his fit. They love his ability to cut and play in space. And defensively, they're buying into his upside. And that's really what we're talking about with Andrew Wiggins. Can he reach his potential defensively? Because he measured out as one of the worst defenders in the league in Minnesota, but he was asked to do so much on offense as far as running the offense, running pick and roll over and over again. It's something he's talked to me about. He's looking forward to being in Golden State and having more of a simplified role on offense. And, you know, he played 12 games, I think it was, for Golden State at the end of the season. He was good defensively. He was really good. And so if they could kind of unlock that potential, I think they've really got something there. Now, he's not going to be worth $27 million a year. He's probably never going to make an All-Star game. But he could be a really nice fit there. And that's what they're looking for. And maybe that's a way that they can up his trade value if something down the line becomes available, but I think they would also be happy with just having him be their small forward of the future. I think that they would be okay with that. But as far as instances where I've been like a little bit higher than most people and either been burned or vindicated, I remember being really, really high on Damian Lillard. And a lot of people talked about his age and his size and then maybe a lack of athleticism. I was like, I don't care. That dude's a gamer. I love him. I was all in on Damian Lillard, and he turned out to be one of the best, I don't know, six or seven players in the league right now. So, yeah, Lillard, I was vindicated. Burned, I really like Jahlil Okafor. I really like Julius Randle. Like, those kind of guys, definitely offensive-minded kind of centers. I tend to fall in love with those guys. I've tried to dial that back over. Like, I could have fallen in love with Marvin Bagley III. I didn't. So I'm trying to dial that back a little bit more. But those are kind of the guys that I tend to like. And I was obviously burned with those guys. I'm still maintaining hope that Julius Randle could be something, but it's probably not going to happen for him with the Knicks. Eric Culberson writes in, is the ideal scenario having Charlotte trade up to number one for LaMelo Ball, leaving Wiseman or Edwards to fall to the Dubs? I personally prefer Edwards. After watching his pro day, he looks bigger than 6'5", but he also appeared thick. I hope he falls to us. Yeah, I prefer, if it was up to me, I'd prefer Anthony Edwards over James Wiseman. I still think if Edwards is there at number two, the Warriors would take Edwards, even if Wiseman's on the board. So maybe that is the ideal scenario. Now, I know there was a lot of scuttle about maybe Charlotte moving up. The question is, how much do they really covet James Wiseman? Not LaMelo Ball. But maybe they do covet LaMelo Ball, but the rumor out there, right, the scuttle out there is that they really want James Wiseman, that they want to fill that center position with this pick. And so if they really want Wiseman and they move up to number one, Wiseman's off the board, and Edwards falls to number two, I think that's a great scenario for the Warriors. I think that would be ideal. Or if Minnesota just takes LaMelo Ball number one and Edwards is there at number two, that would be great. I think the other ideal situation would be a trade down with Charlotte at number three. If the Hornets don't move up to number one and they're there at number three and they really want James Wiseman and he's on the board, if you could trade back just one spot, I know we talk about these trade back scenarios all the way to 8 or 10 or whatever, but if you could just trade back one spot, and the Warriors want to stay within that realm, right? And pick up a future asset, maybe another first-round pick down the line. If it's Charlotte, maybe you're getting Miles Bridges, which I think would be a nice fit for Golden State. And all you do is move down one spot at number three, and Anthony Edwards might still be available there, or Denny Advia is there at number three. I think that would be a really perfect fit, or a great situation for the Warriors, too. Coming up, how the Warriors can fill the center position if they don't draft James Wiseman. If you haven't already done so, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors automatically every day. Bud writes in, great summary of James Wiseman. Thanks. He's referencing the Target Tuesday we did on James Wiseman. You can find that in your feed. Question, you mentioned poor court vision and passing. Does this imply not great basketball IQ? If we don't draft him and don't get Mitchell Robinson in a trade down, would we have to use the mid-level exception on a center? We need that for a wing. No, I don't know that it doesn't mean a poor basketball IQ. I think people conflate basketball IQ with basketball feel. Those are two different things. To me, basketball IQ is an ability to take in scouting reports, to take in game plans, and then to execute those things on the court. That, to me, is what basketball IQ is. To memorize, you know, opponents' tendencies, and to just not make mistakes, right? To not be out of position, to not do those things. Wiseman, defensively, there's a concern for me as far as the basketball IQ is, but because he's so slow to react on pick and rolls and very just basic defensive concepts, very basic offensive plays, he's slow to react. He gets behind the play too often. But I think that might just be more of him being young, and I think there's upside there. Everybody you talk to who's talked to Wiseman says that he's a really smart kid, and so I don't doubt that he can't figure that part out, and he certainly has the athleticism to make up for it at some point if he just gets, you know, even a little bit better, if he just reacts a little bit quicker. To me, it's just the ball skills. It's the basketball feel. I'm not sure it's all there. The passing vision is a concern to me. I think that when the ball is in his hands, he's not as fluid. He's not as smooth with it. Certainly when he likes to compare himself to Chris Bosh, Bosh showed so much more of a feel offensively than Wiseman did. That comparison falls really short for me, as does the Kevin Garnett comparison that's often made. It's not to say that the upside isn't there. It's not to say that he can't reach that, but I do think that the learning curve for James Wiseman is going to be really steep at the NBA level. DJ writes in, I forgot to mention the second part of that question. I think the mid-level exception would be used on a center if they don't draft Wiseman or Okongwu in the draft. I think a guy like Mason Plumlee could make sense. First on my list would be Marc Gasol. I would go to Serge Ibaka. I would kick the tires on those guys and see if you can use the mid-level. Because to me, using the mid-level exception on Marc Gasol, that's a much better player than probably who you're going to get on the perimeter with the mid-level exception, right? I think you can find some decent perimeter guys with a minimum contract. And by the way, I think the Warriors could... You just draft a wing player. If you're not drafting a center, then you're drafting a wing player. And so that starts to fill that need too. So if you end up with Anthony Edwards or Devin Vassell or Tyrese Haliburton or Denny Advia with this top draft pick, and then you're able to use a minimum contract on a guy like Mo Harkless or, you know, Andre Roberson, maybe Glenn Robinson wants to come back, you know, something like that, that to me makes sense. And then you use the mid-level exception on a center. You could also use the minimum on a guy like Myers Leonard or Aaron Baines. That to me could make sense for the Warriors too, because you're going to have Marquese Chriss. They like his upside. He has the inside track on the starting job next year. Kevon Looney is 100% healthy. They're obviously going to use him. And then there's Draymond Green in small ball lineups. They're going to lean into that as well. So they've got basically three centers already on the roster. So it's not as major of a need as I think people make it out to be. Okay, that they will add a player, certainly, who has more of a traditional size, who can bang with some of the bigger bodies in the league, certainly in the Western Conference, but it's not this glaring hole that they have. I actually think the bigger hole that they have is on the perimeter. I know they've got Wiggins, but that's just the start to solving that, to filling that hole, not the end to filling that hole. DJ writes in, "What's up, man? I was wondering what you thought of getting Sfi from Detroit. What would it take? His contract is $1.6 million, and I remember we might have a trade exception from the Spellman trade in that range. What do you think? 6'7", 40% three-point shooter." I like Sfi. I think he'd be a good fit for the Warriors. I don't know how Detroit values him. There are rumors that the Pistons want to move up in this draft, apparently targeting LaMelo Ball. Detroit's there at number 7. That's a little far for me to move down. That's a little far for me to move down if I'm the Warriors. I don't know that a guy like Tyrese Haliburton or Denny Advia would still be there at number 7. Maybe you could talk yourself into guys like Devin Vassell if you're the Warriors, Patrick Williams, who has a ton of upside. I really like him a lot. But there's still a little bit more risk there picking at 7 than there is just taking the guy you like at number 2. And I don't know that a guy like Sfi is enough to get that done. You could absorb him into the Spellman trade exception. You could absorb him into your regular trade exception. Maybe they are willing to throw in some other players. Detroit has a number of other, like Luke Kennard and Sfi. Does Zach get the ball rolling? Do the Warriors value Derrick Rose in any meaningful way? Those would be questions I would ask. But to me, it's just a little too far down, number 7 is, and giving up that number 2 pick. It's just a little too far. Glenn writes in, "Do you think that the Warriors are considering Nerlens Noel, and would he make a good fit, would possibly allow them to draft a wing?" Again, going back to this, there's not a glaring need for center this way, that if they don't draft a center that they, or, you know, just by not drafting a center now that they can address the wing position. I think they're going to take the player who they think is the best player at number 2. All right, if they think James Wiseman is the best player and he's there, they'll take him. If they think Anthony Edwards or Danny Advia is the best player there at number 2, they'll take him. It doesn't matter whether that player plays the wing or plays the center spot. That said, Nerlens Noel would be a nice fit. I think he was really good for Oklahoma City last year. Obviously a lob threat, something that could be helpful for the Warriors. Showed some chops defensively, and was a decent rebounder at his position. Yeah, I think Nerlens Noel could be a nice fit. Unfortunately, I think he's more of a mid-level type guy than a minimum guy. And if I'm the Warriors, I've got guys like Marcus Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Mason Plumlee, Paul Millsap. I've got guys like that on my list higher than Nerlens Noel. Because, again, you have Marquese Chriss there. To me, it's a little bit more of a fit there. And he obviously has got the history with the team, the equity with the team, more than Nerlens Noel does. But, look, you know, if you're looking for a lob threat, you could do worse than Nerlens Noel. He was a nice player for the Thunder last year. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Thanks to Built Go for sponsoring the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here next week.